Last week we started with Inyanei Sukkah. We're going to continue now Inyanei Sukkah. Let's speak a little about the Sukkah, blah, 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 the Sukkah. Okay, so the Sukkah we know has two main parts, the walls and the schach, the tefanos and the schach. And the Gemara says that Chal Shem Shemayim al Sukkah, because right, the Sukkah has Kedusha to it. So you can't in the middle of Sukkah decide you want to use the bamboo for play baseball or something like that, you know. Today, how many of you still have bamboo Sukkahs?
Like the
stuff. Yeah.
For her.
On the mats?
No, I'm not talking about the mats.
Oh, talking about the individual.
The individuals, like, yeah. How many still have? Yeah. How many have the mats? Yeah, that became the
cool thing. I built a circle with the actual shoes themselves once. It's quite annoying.
What did you do?
I built a circle for someone else. Had individual bamboo shoes.
Yeah. I mean, for years that was the it's just the past, like, I don't know how many years, 5 years or so, 10 years, 5 years, it's been but before that, for the past 20 years, it was all bamboos, 20, 30 years. And before that, my father tells me that when he was growing up, they just used, you know, like branches and things, from, you know, they put it on the corner of this, wasn't even bamboos then. But, what?
How does
that move involved? Well, we'll talk. We'll get to it. So say you're in the middle of Sukkot, so you want to use the mat for something else. Say you're not in your Sukkot now, you want to take it, bring it back. You can't do that. In other words, Chal Shem Shemayim on Sukkot means it's an Issa D'Raisa. The Taz explains it means when you remove something from the Sukkot. But if you're going to leave it there and just use it, that's not that you lean on the wall or something like that, that might not be a problem. But to remove it from the Taz explains, that's a problem. To remove it is a problem. That's an Issa D'Raisa. Because Chal Shem Shemayim on HaSukkah. Okay, so let's. And we assume it's a machlokas rishonim, whether that only applies to the schach or to the walls as well. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we assume it applies to both. That is Kedusha, both to the walls and to the schach. Now, the walls, the way we make sukkahs today, are usually with four walls. Even though, technically speaking, it really can be two and a tefach, but it's a whole complication how you're supposed to put the tefach, and so we don't do two and a tefach. So either we do three or four walls. Right? And the walls have to be sturdy, that they don't waver in the Ruach Metzuyah. Right? It has to be what we call Omeid Ruach Metzuya. It doesn't flap. If it's a Ruach Sheina Metzuya, that's something else. But if it's a Ruach Metzuya, it has to be stable. Excuse me? Metzuya means a normal, not a windy day per se, but a regular day. Regular day has a minimum like wind, but the days that you'll walk out, it's always a windy day. That's not, you know, the Metzuya, the regular day. So this leads to a big question of the canvas sukkahs. The canvas sukkahs. Are the canvas sukkahs good or not?
Yes.
So Rav Avadi Yosef,
and it's far from here. Yeah, so Rav Avadi Yosef has a tshuva, but he basically says that the we can't be sukkahs are no good. Okay, because they flap in the wind, so they're not all made beruch mitzuya. I mean, even he will permit if you then will take strings and basically attach the string from one place to the other, in other words, within lavin, less than 3 tefachim from the ground, and then another string above that, less than 3 tefachim, another string, and then each side. But that's like a very tedious thing to have to do. Right, so. So that's, but he says it's no good. It's not omid baruch mitzuya. And others disagree. Chazanish disagrees and says no. But if it's tied down, so in other words, the ma'isa, even if it flaps, it's so you have a canvas that flaps. So really, it's supposed to be straight. So if it flaps, it'll go like a little indented. But even if it's this angle, it's still pretty good. So, in other words, so as long as the, as Rav Shach explained from the Chazanish, it never loses a proper, see if it's a very low angle, then it won't be good, but as long as it's a pretty good angle, so then it's still okay. So, and Rav Avadi Yosef says not that way. As long as it's flapping, even if it's keeping a very, you know, good angle, maybe it's not always 90 degrees, but it's still pretty steep, you know. So then it'll still be okay. And Ravadi disagrees. So what I tell people is like this. This is what I tell people. I tell people if they're still in their parents' home and their parents have a sukkah like that, they could use it. They can rely as long as it's tied down to the bottom, etc. But when you move out of the house and you now get your own sukkah, so then you shouldn't get a canvas sukkah. So either you get the wood or fiberglass. So when you get married, there's a shem. Well, usually when you get married, you don't always get your sukkah right away. It might take 10 years until you may get it on your own. But once you were, if your parents are asking you, they want to, you know, get a new sukkah, so then they're asking you what type you prefer, so then you should say, you know, maybe this time around we should get something different than the canvas. But if you have it, and your parents have it, you shouldn't say, oh, I'm not going to eat in the sukkah. Don't make a whole to-do over it, because there are poskim to rely on. But on the other hand, there are poskim that say it's possible, so it's not a, you know, thing that you want to necessarily do lachachila, if you could, you know, avoid it, so do so. Okay? Especially if you're a person who claims to follow all of Rav Avadi Yosef's psakim. Okay? Oh. Then, another issue that comes up with the canvas sukkahs is usually the way canvas sukkah is made, it has a, first you put up the metal frame, and then you put up the walls and then the schach. So there is a halacha of
mamid, the dover, and the kamel, tum.
So let me explain what that means. Whereas, let's digress a little bit to the schach. And that will answer your question about the bamboos. What is schach made out of? So there are three criteria that schach has to be. It has to be gidulo min hakarka. It has to be something that grows from the ground. Right? It has to be polish. It has to be that is no longer attached to the ground.
And
it also has to be Eino Mekabel Toma. Has to be something that's not Mekabel Toma. So it has to be Gidula Menacharka Tola Shu Eino Mekabel Toma.
So for many reasons, bamboo is a very good what? Good candidate for this. Because bamboo grows from the ground, right? And it's detached, if you detach it. And it's not a kabel tuma, right? It's not made into a kli or something like that. And it's easy to deal with. You know, when you deal with the different shrubberies, it's more, you know, you have finite poles, and so that became very popular. That was a great way of having skach. You just have the branches and the leaves, things like that. It's much more cumbersome. It's much more, and that was the minute for 20, 30 years. Now, it's like, it's out of style, you know. So people who still have, as I said, only one person in the class raised their hand, right? That you still have, you know. But if you have them, keep them. It's good. It's a good thing to have the bamboo, you know, because the mats have more problems. You know, the mats you have to make sure, because the halacha is a mat, if it was made for, some mats are made to sit on, right? So if it's made to sit on, to lay on, then that's mekabel tuma. And then it's possible midaraisa to use for your sukkah. So you have to make sure that if you get a mat, you have a proper hashkacha, and you hope that they did the homework properly to make sure that this mat was not manufactured to sit on, but it was rather manufactured for shade. You know, for schach. And you have to see, because some of them are made in faraway countries, you know. So, you know, at least the bamboos, they're not mats, so you know exactly what you're getting. You know, so we hope that the, you know, Heksherim are good, and that they're doing their homework, and making sure that because potentially, this could be a psul d'oraisa if there's a mess up here. Right? It could be mamash mekabel tuma with haTorah. So, you know, so that's, yeah. But if it was up to me, I would go back to the, I mean, it's easier, obviously, the mat, you just, you know. I think it's part of this generation that people are lazy also, that has to do with it also. It's a lazy generation. It has to do with computers and things like that.
My new canvas stuff is just snap it together. We don't even have that little down wrench anymore.
What, the canvas?
Yeah, just snap it together. You have the interlocking pieces.
Yeah?
Easy. Well, the easy sucker.
Easy sucker. I've seen that. Yeah, easy sucker.
I see.
Okay, so getting back. So not only the halacha is that the schach can't be mekabel tuma, but there is a machlokus in the Gemara that the thing that the schach is supported by also can't be mekabel tuma. Well, so if you have a metal frame, where are you going to put the bamboos on? Well, the simple way is to put it on the metal frame, right? That's what it's made for. So then you get into the problem, is metal is mekabel tuma. Metal is mekabel tuma. So there is a din of mamid who's over mekabel tuma. Now this din of mamid is only what a din derabanan. It's only a din derabanan. Meaning, we're afraid that if you're going to use something to mamid the schach, that's metabol tumah. But what'll happen? The next thing you'll end up doing, you'll start using the thing to be metabol tumah for the schach itself. So they asked mamid a gzeira, the way many of you should have learned that you shouldn't come to use the sukkah from. To make the schach out of the dover makabel tumah. However, this is a so every canvas sukkah, you know, at first glance, is potentially violating this problem. So usually that's what everyone talks about. That's the hak about the canvas sukkah. It's laying on the metal. But to tell you the truth, many poskim hold that this is only a chumrah, the mamid. And we pass in the Mishnah din that as long as the schach itself is not mekabel tumah, it's okay. The issue of the walls shaking, that's much more of an issue, because that could be an ikar hadin. And you see, people always talk about the wrong things. You know, because that comes from, the less people know, the more hak they have. That's always the call. The person knows more, he knows what's really an issue and what's really not an issue. A lot of people's halakhic knowledge is only from what they hear in the street, what they hear, you know, just from, you know, the haq, what people are talking about. But you have to, when you come and they actually learn it, you know, the sources, so a lot of times you have a different perspective of what's really important and what's really not important. So the mamid, I'm not saying it's not important, but it's secondary to this issue. In other words, the omid ruach matzuya is that's an ikar hadin. The mamid, many poskim and shulchan aruch say that it's not liyakuva. So even though we try lechatchila, but the way some people who have the canvas sukkahs try to deal with it is they take on top of the frame, they put four wooden beams, and then they put the. The bamboo of the mats on top of that. And therefore, it's. But the question is that really help? Because, first of all, there's a discussion of mamid, but the way some explain is that, bottom line, even if you put a wooden beam there, what's really supporting the schach is the metal poles. Right? So, like someone once used the phrase, you know, if I did a chatzitza that can't be touching it, but what's supporting it? It's still supporting it, so it's not so simple. You know, the Kazanishu was machmer, even mamid the mamid, even, you know, further, you know, but Mamaisa. Mamaisa, the mamid is, you know, so Lukhakilo, we try to get a sukkah that's not mamid the Dom Rabbitabel. I'm a Kabbalah. So if you have a wood sukkah or that's not other things, but with the metal poles, that's a Kabbalah. But so definitely, in other words, if somebody you were invited to somebody's house for a meal and they have a canvas sukkah that's tied down and they didn't put the bamboo is resting on the metal poles themselves, you could eat there. You could even make a bracha. But again, in other words, the bigger concern is the Omid Baruch Matsuya concern. Okay? That's. As we said before, it has to be silosa meruba mechamosa. It has to be more shade than sun. But we mentioned last time from Rabbi Tam that if you put too much and the rain can't come in, then you're not yotze. Because part of the sukkah being diras arai is that the it has to be able to rain. But the walls, they could be sturdy walls as possible. Because we don't say sukkah is diras arai, so the walls have to be flimsy. Fakir. The walls can be even, you can use even the wall of a building to be a wall, which is not flimsy at all. Because the potential, it didn't have to be that way. Once it's below Kaf Amah. But for the Schach, it's not enough that it potentially, it has to be Befoil Mamish Aroi. And by Befoil Mamish Aroi, that means that it's the... that it could rain in. Okay.
Yeah. Is there also a din that you have to be able to see the stars? Or is that not...
Yeah, I mean, it's brought down the idea of seeing the stars, but the main thing is that it should rain in, be able to rain in. Okay, the main thing is it should be able to rain in. Okay. Now, we mentioned before that the sukkah, as we said, is a diras arai. It's a temporary dwelling. But for this yontif, this is your ikar makom. In other words, the Gemara says that not only you eat, you drink, you sleep in the sukkah. And there's a chiyuv to sleep in the sukkah as well. Not only eat and drink, but to sleep in the sukkah. So many people don't because they're mitzayir. And mitzayir is part of the sukkah. Right, if it's too cold, you're gonna catch a cold. You feel uncomfortable, so you mitzvah. And mitzvah is part of an asukah. So that's a very big a big yisod. But there is a chiv. In fact, the Mordechai. There's an unbelievable thing that's quoted in the Ramah, and not everyone agrees. But he says, if you have a sukkah that you build in a place where you'd be afraid, it's not right to sleep, because you're afraid of the ganavim or whatever, so you would never sleep in that sukkah because it's, you know, it's in a place where you're afraid to, you'd be afraid to sleep. So the Mordechai says, then you're not even yotze achila in such a sukkah. Because a sukkah has to be that you can do everything. In the end of the day, you might choose to sleep inside because you're mitzayir, but at least it has to be a potential place where you would be able to sleep. But if you won't sleep there, then it's not even kosher l'achila. Wow. So that's the Ramah quotes is the Chacham Tzvi disagrees and says no. That theoretically, you could have two different sukkahs. One sukkah for eating and one sukkah for sleeping. As long as the sleeping sukkah you can sleep in, the eating sukkah you can't sleep in, but you can just eat. Because it's built in a place where you'd never sleep, but you'd be comfortable eating there, then you yotze. That's the Chacham Tzvi's opinion. But the Mordechai quote in the Ramah says no. And that's, I mean, it makes sense, because the idea being that for sukkahs, this is your bias. Right? In other words, no one has a house where this house I only eat in and this house I only sleep in. Unless you say we do have that because Lamaisa, we have different rooms in our house. And this room we, you know, maybe, you know, Bizman is there. You see, Bizman Chazal, in the old days, a house meant he came into, and it was a one big room, and that was a house. And everyone was Mustadir in that one room. You know, everyone slept there, everyone ate there. It wasn't like that's what the I think the Maril says. That was, you know, Shach. There are more rites, a minhag, which he announces. The minhag used to be that they would put one mezuzah all the way up on the front door. So it sounds like amaratzis. So the Ramon is against it. But don't think the Maril says that it was total amaratzis, that it was, because they didn't have what we have today. Basically, it was one big room. But the thing is, they were maybe a little side, little rooms. So those rooms they didn't, and even then, he was, you know, he came out against. But basically, it was one, it was one room. So the houses that they had was one room that you could do everything in. You ate in that room, you slept in that room, and that's the way it was. Today, you don't do that. Okay, today, in other words, like the Chacham Tzvi, I'm just thinking now, that because we have a separate room for sleeping and a separate room for eating. So it's like we have a separate house for eating and a separate house for sleeping. It's just, because Al Pi Din, every room is considered like a bayis b'fnei atzmo. That's why we put a mezuzah in every separate room, because every room is a bayis b'fnei atzmo. So maybe that's a right as well as that to the Chacham Tzvi. That we're doing a ke'in tadur, so ke'in tadur, that's what we do ke'in tadur. But the Ramah quotes the Mordechai that no, you have to have a sukkah that's roi lakol. It has to be fit for everything. It has to be fit for everything. That you can eat there, that you can sleep there, and if it's a sukkah, like some sukkahs, like they put in a place where you'd be afraid to ever sleep there, but you wouldn't be afraid to eat there because you're awake, so but sleep there, you would never do that. So the Mordechai says that sukkah is no good.
For the heter being in star, so you don't sleep in the sukkah, is that okay? For example, let's say in my sukkah, there's something that's very loud on my sukkah.
Something's very what?
Loud.
Loud?
Yeah, and I can't sleep in my sukkah.
You mean somebody plays music outside your sukkah?
Yeah, so like when I was in yeshiva, so I used to have a big sukkah in the old city, so like it was so loud.
Where were you yeshiva?
Hakota. So it used to be so loud that like I would sleep in there one night and I just couldn't take it anymore.
Well, because in the old city there are people there all night, you know.
It just also during the
old city is happening place, 24 hours.
Yeah, during the regal also it gets a little nuts. But
during the regal,
yeah. So it's just, but would that be makir me for sleeping inside, or would I then have to pursue sleeping in just a different sukkah that was quieter?
If you have another sukkah to go to. But if you don't know. Maybe just get some invest in earplugs. Maybe that'll solve the problem. Okay? So that's the din of the machlokes, the Mordechai and the Chacham Tzvi, which is very fascinating. Very fascinating, my focus. Okay. Now let's talk about achila, eating in the sukkah. So it's brought down that the din is that the achila's keva has to be eaten in the sukkah, and the achila's arai can be eaten towards the sukkah. So when you're having a meal, that should be a sukkah. When it's only a snack, it could be chutzla sukkah. Some discuss whether it has to be dafka bread. Some say it's a meal. That's a meal. If it's your main meal, so that's what you normally eat for dinner or breakfast. So you should eat it in the sukkah. The minhag, the Rabbeinu Tam, we mentioned last time, is only to make a bracha when you're eating a meal, you're washing and having a meal. And some do it on Mazonos also. And the shear, the shear of Achilas Keva is Yosef Mikabetza. And you eat more than a Kabetza. Kabetza bread, like our body has, everybody, of course, our cutler, our body said it over, is that a beis says the middle slice of a rye bread. So if you eat anything more than that, than the middle slice of a rye bread, so then that's a achilas kavan, and you eat it in the sukkah. But if you're just having a snack, you can eat it chutzlas sukkah. So if you just have a cup of water, or drink some soda or something like that, you're having a snack, so that could be in chutzlas sukkah. And the Rishonim point out that's also learned out from this din of teshu kei taduru. That's also learned out from this din of teshu kei taduru. Because just like when you're at home, so when you have a meal, you eat it at home. Sometimes maybe you'll snack outside or something like that, in your backyard or something like that. So that you could have in the sukkah, you know, outside the sukkah. Now, there is a din in the Gemara of holchei drachim. Holchei drachim of Turin in the sukkah. If you're going on the way, you put them in a sukkah. So Moshe writes in the tshuva, it's only if it's l'dvar mitzvah. But Rabbi Yashiv in the Sefer and the others have said no, that even if it's l'dvar rishus. So technically speaking, like Rabbi said, say you're traveling, you're taking a, you want to drive up to wherever, and you're in your car and you're driving, so technically speaking, according to many posts, can be potter min ha-sukkah. So and therefore you could even eat a sandwich, even some people, you know, because you're in the derek, so the moon in the derek, so you have to be at home. So as Rav Avadi pointed out, the shot is that the chiyuv of sukkah is that when you're home, so that's where you eat. So then when you're home, you know, when you're near your home, you have to eat in the sukkah, because that's where you would normally eat when you're in your home. But when you're out on the highway, so you're on the derech, so then during the year, if you'd want to eat, you would just eat there on the derech. So on sukkahs is teshuv kei taduru, so technically would be pater as well, because you're chokhei drachim. Some people still like to, you know, there's people have all types of kumras. You know, there's kumras not to eat anything chutz l'sukkah, not to even drink water chutz l'sukkah. But that's not the ikur din. It's like different kumras. And if I can, I saw one place, one of the places says that a person shouldn't say, I'm never going to leave the sukkah, because I want to always get the mitzvah, because that's also not normal. It should be normal. And the normal thing is, you're not a hermit, so during the year, you don't stay home. Sorry. You don't stay home the whole day. But Post can point out that, you know, like if you're in a jail, that's that you never leave. That's a chisara in the diva. That's not normal living. It should be normal living. So normal living is you eat so you're home, and then you go out, and then you come back, and you go out, and you come back in. So sukkah is not supposed to be not normal. It's not a thing that you never leave the sukkah. It's a thing that the sukkah is your house, so you have to. Thank you. You have to treat it as a house, and normal living in the house is that way. So that's the whole chedrachim are a turim in a sukkah. So again, the shear of kviyas, as I said, yoser mikibetsa. So I said kibetsa, like I said over from Rav Kolar, a body, more than a slice of a middle of a rye bread slice. So technically, if you're just eating a little bit, even a piece of bread, if it's only a kezayis, that's considered a rye. And that could be eaten chutz l'sukkah. Yosef Kibetza, that's the shear of keva. And you have to eat that in the sukkah. And the minig is we make the brikas and then we make our leishim sukkah. Motzulach v'ra'ar, so that a shekhar shodim is also the tibar leishim. So we don't consider that a hefsek. And people who make it on mezonos do the same. Some people make a mezonos as well, others don't. Some people, if they'll have a mezonos, they'll make a burning mezonos and they share a sukkah if they have, say, more than a kibbetz of mezonos. When some say mezonos, you never make unless you manage to be a sued on mezonos. That means you have a lot on the Zoros. We discussed last time, that's the Machlokas Rishonim, the Rambam and the Rif say you don't need anything really. Rabbeinu Tam has this thing that you have to eat. And that became a popular practice. But the Rabbeinu Tam, the Rambam and the Rif, the Gra, also every time you come into the Sukkah, after you had a big hefsek, you come back in, you make another Leishev of Sukkah. What about Shmini Atzeres? So Shmini Atzeres, technically speaking, if you're an Israeli in Eretz Yisrael, so then you don't sit in the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres, because Shmini Atzeres doesn't have a mitzvah of Sukkah. Only Sukkah has a mitzvah of Sukkah, not Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres doesn't have a mitzvah of Sukkah. So what's the idea? That in Chutz La'aretz you sit in the Sukkah, because Shmini Atzeres in Chutz La'aretz is not just the Yontif Le'atzma, but it's also Sveika Diyoma of the seventh day. Because really, maybe the second day was the first day of Yontif, right? The Sveika Diyoma. So that's why in Chutz La'aretz we sit in the Sukkah, just the Sveika Diyoma, without a bracha. And that's the minig. Well, so why do some people have a minig not to sit in the Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres? If the Gemara says to sit in the Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres, at some point that the Rosh Hashulchan, Rabbi Yagid likes to point this out, the Rosh Hashulchan, the Tosfos has a kasha. So how come we don't take lulav on Shmini Atzeres? So if Shmini Atzeres is a Sveika Diyoma, maybe it's really the seventh day, maybe it's Hoshana Rabbah. So then Hoshana Rabbah is high on lulav. So just like we sit in the Sukkah, we should take lulav. How come we don't take lulav on the seventh day? So the answer is, Tosa says, because we don't want to do anything that blatantly looks like we're doing a weekday activity on Shmini Atzeres. So when you sit in the Sukkah, where are you sitting? And you're really sitting in Al Hoshana Rabbah, which is a weekday. Yeah, but Sukkah, like, when it's nice weather, people eat outside anyway. So it's not a slap in the face to Shmini Atzeres. Because it doesn't look necessarily that you're doing something, the shame mitzvah, which is the mitzvah of Sukkahs on Shmini Atzeres, which would be a degradation to Shmini Atzeres. But lulav, no one just takes lulav without a mitzvah. People eat in huts outdoors just for pleasure, but shaking lulav, no sane person just will take things and if it not be a mitzvah. Right? We wouldn't do that. It's a mitzvah. So we're told that this is the Ratzon Hashem, this is what we're supposed to do. Well, we wouldn't just do that. So therefore, if we do it on Shmini Atzeres, it would look like what? We're degrading Shmini Atzeres. We're treating Shmini Atzeres like a weekday. So therefore, we don't do it. So So at some point out, I'm sure from the Sana along to point out that maybe in the countries that it was very cold, that no one would sit outdoors unless it would be a mitzvah also. So then, that's where Rabbi Yaakov said, for the many people, the sukkah became like the lulav. Because who in his right mind would be sitting outside in such cold weather and not been for the mitzvah? So then it is a degradation, and hence became the minhag. But Lamaisa, how things happen. Then people just take a life on its own. And even if it's a beautiful day, they'll still not sit in the sukkah. And it became, look, there are other reasons. I shouldn't say this is the only reason, and there are other reasons and other things and other things. So Lamaisa, really, you should sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres without a bracha, both at night and in the day. And then, starting the night after Shmini Atzeres, which we call Leil Simchas Torah, which is the Yom Sheni of Shmini Atzeres, no more. That's already the ninth day. So the ninth day is the ninth day Safik 8, but the 8th is not Chayav. Anyway, so then we don't do that. Okay, so that's the idea of the Yeshiva Sukkah. A lot of people have the shlach on the sukkah, right? In other words, they want to, if it's raining, they want to cover the sukkah, so this way, when it stops raining, they can just go right back in the sukkah and it won't be wet. Right? So you have to realize, make sure that when you go back into the sukkah, you took the shlach off, or else you're not yotzei. It's like having a sukkah underneath a tree. So when you have it underneath the shlach, so the shlach is mekabel tumah. Or whatever, it doesn't rain in, so it has all the psulim. So then you wouldn't be yotze. You have to make sure. Now on Shabbos and Yontif is another thing that you have to make sure that there's an issue of making an ohel on Shabbos and Yontif. So when you're doing it, so there could be a problem you make an ohel. But the ohel is only a problem if there's air underneath. In other words, if it's flush on the schach, then that's not an ohel, because it all means there's an airspace. There's no airspace. It's right on the thing. But if there is an airspace, then it's a problem. But if you have it already a tefach out, then you could be mosif, even if there's an airspace. So if there's no airspace, then it's fine. I mean, you don't have to worry. But if there's an airspace, then you have to worry. But the way to get out of that is if it's already protruded a tefach, you could be mosif. Now the other thing is when you put it back, a lot of times there's a lot of water on it. So when you're putting it back, rewinding it up again, so all that water goes down to the ground, and if there's grass in the area, so then that could be a problem. That you're watering the lawn on Shabbos and Yontif. So there are a couple of things. One is if some say maybe it's a grumma, if it doesn't go directly on the lawn, it goes to the concrete, from the concrete there. That's a question whether that's true, because maybe that's just one route. And some say if the water is already saturated, so maybe it's not such a problem. It's already saturated with water. So that's a discussion in the poskim. Okay, so these are the major issues of Yeshiva Sukkah. If anyone wants to ask anything more on this, okay. Bez Hashem, when do we resume every Goldberg? Monday, that Monday after? Which, do you have the topic? Does anyone have the, let me just see what we're doing next. A second.